John chapter 8 here this morning, John chapter 8, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, taking a look at the real Jesus, as I've been often referring to this. John chapter 8, I want for us to notice verse 12 by way of introduction here, and a couple of the words I want for us to take notice as we study through this passage, John chapter 8, verses 12 and following, is the two words, I am. And that's very significant because Jesus Christ, as we see in this passage, is claiming the title, I am that I am, as we'll see here from the book of Exodus. Now, that's a very serious claim as far as Jews are concerned. But John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This last week, my wife had a visit with a practitioner. And in the process of that, she was in this room with this practitioner, just my wife and her were in there, and this lady kept talking to someone. Well, my wife realized that she wasn't talking to her, but she kept asking questions. And finally, my wife asked her, who are you talking to? Well, it startled her from what my wife said. It startled her. Who are you talking? What do you mean? You keep asking questions of someone. Who are you talking to? Well, finally she said, angels, to spirits. There's spirits and angels all around us. Well, my wife said, I am a believer in the God of the Bible. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. And she ended the visit right then and there. I think it was like 2 days later, my wife received an email from this practitioner explaining some things. You know, she thanked her for taking a stand for her beliefs. But she said, I also am a Christian. I follow the Christ consciousness. Did you notice those terms? Christ consciousness. In fact, as I was doing some reading yesterday, Oprah uses those same terms. The Christ consciousness, that's a New Age Christ. She also said in this email that there are many ways to heaven. And let me point out today, that is not true Christianity. Christ, Jesus Christ, is a person. And as I've often said, as we've been studying through the Gospel of John, our modern day world would not accept the Bible Jesus if he were to show up right now. Most of the religious people of our day would not accept the biblical Jesus. See, the modern day Jesus is peaceful and non-confrontational. The modern-day Jesus gets along with everyone and tolerates all religions. Even as many say, there are many paths that lead to God. Well, if that's the case, then they're calling the Bible Jesus a liar. Because the Bible Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, that sounds kind of narrow. Yeah, exactly. As narrow as the Bible. Jesus Christ, the living word, gave us this book, and it says very clearly, he is the only way of salvation. Now, as you consider John chapter 8, I want for us to consider something very important. The Jewish leaders believed in God. In fact, they even claimed to believe in Jehovah God of the Old Testament. And yet, Jesus says to these same religious leaders, you are going to die in your sins because you did not believe on me. You notice here, the Pharisees were very religious. They believed in God. By the way, the Bible also says, if you believe in God, you're doing well. But the devils believe and tremble. Just believing that there is a God, just believing that Jesus Christ was a real person, is not going to get you to heaven. Now again, Jesus Christ very clearly confronts their unbelief. They refused to believe in Jesus, and it led to conflict, as we're going to see in this passage. Now Jesus confronted them, and he contradicted their religious views. Now, because of that, because they rejected Jesus Christ, the rejection of Christ, they also rejected Christ's witness. I want you to notice with me verses 12 through 20. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, pause there just a moment. Now, since it's been 2 weeks since we looked at this passage, the beginning part of this chapter, again, is a passage that is removed from some of the modern Bibles. It's questioned by some of the modern Bible critics. But again, as I point out here, if that passage, verses 1 through 11, is removed, then you have a break in the flow of activity here. Notice it says in verse 53, every man went unto his own house, and then you start up, then spake Jesus again unto them. So how is he? Where is he speaking to? You know, who is he speaking to? If everyone went to their house and this passage about the woman taken in adultery is missing, who is Jesus talking to then? So what you notice here again, this is after the woman taken in the act of adultery. They bring her before Jesus to trap him in his words, to tempt him, to test him, to try to get him to say something that they can hold against him. And so in the midst of that, after they drop their rocks and leave, Jesus now begins to speak to the ones who are still there. Again, he's in the busy place, the most public place of the temple here. It says in verse 12 again, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am." Those are the two words I told you to pay attention to throughout this chapter. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, Jesus Christ as Creator is the source of light. We saw that back in John chapter 1. We also see that in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, it says, "God spake, and there was light. God said, let there be light, and there was light." And it says he divided the light from the darkness. Just, again, he is the source of light. He says, "I am the light of the world." And I believe that spiritually is true also. He is the one who gives people light to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the real Jesus of the Bible. But also it says in 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." I often say there is no dark side to God. There's no side that God is trying to hide from mankind because of the darkness that's in him. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, in a very literal sense, that was true in the Old Testament. It says that Jesus Christ, I believe, was the representation there. God's glory on earth was represented in the pillar of fire and the cloudy pillar. So Jesus Christ literally was the light for Israel. But also I think of New Jerusalem. Remember when we saw Revelation chapter 12, chapter 22? It says that God is the light of New Jerusalem. The Lamb is the light of New Jerusalem. There's no need of the sun because God in his glory is going to brighten that city. So again, there's a rejection of Christ's witness here, first of all, in verses 12 and following. Because he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me walketh," he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now I want you to notice what he's saying there. Jesus Christ is saying that all other religions are in darkness. That's pretty all-inclusive. Because if they do not have the Bible Jesus, they are in darkness. That's what Jesus says here in his own words. He says, they walk in darkness if they do not have the light of life. Verse 13, the Pharisees. All right, so wait a minute. I thought the scribes and the Pharisees left. The only ones that left were the ones that were ready to throw the rocks at this woman taken in adultery. Remember it says they were convicted by their conscience. They dropped their rocks and they left. So the rest of the Pharisees that are still trying to trap Jesus, notice it says, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. What are they saying to Jesus? You're a liar. You are a liar. Now, let me ask you as we go through this passage, I wonder what they're thinking about that today as they're sitting in hell suffering. We're going to see in this passage, Jesus says, because you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. I have a feeling some of the things in this conversation are going to haunt them for all of eternity. They're literally calling the Son of God, the source of truth, a liar. You are a liar. Thy record is not true. Verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came. He says, I know where I came from. Even though you don't believe me, I know where I came from. And whither I go, where I'm going. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Notice, unbelief led to inability. It says, ye cannot tell. There's absolutely no way they could ever grasp this concept because of their unbelief. Their unbelief led to an inability. And let me say that's true today. When somebody is not believing the Lord Jesus Christ, they have an inability to see the truth. They cannot see it. Why? Because of unbelief. Unbelief leads to inability to understand these things. Then he says in verse 15, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Notice they are judging after the flesh, after outward appearances. Well, you don't measure up to our idea of Messiah. They are judging Jesus by outward appearances. You know, you don't have a halo over your head. You don't look like the Messiah. You're not doing what we think you should. All right, so they're judging after appearances. Verse 16. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. Someday he will be judged. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. That's reference to Deuteronomy 19:15. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So what's Jesus saying? I have two witnesses as to who I am. I bear witness of myself, I'm one, and God the Father is the other witness. So we have fulfilled the Old Testament law in requiring two witnesses. Verse 19, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Now you're going to see throughout this passage, in unbelief, they're asking him all kinds of questions. Where is thy Father? He's already told them. Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now, it's very significant as we see what Jesus says here. If you would believe in me, you would know the Father also. They did not know God even though they thought they did. We're going to see again in this conversation some of those things that come up. Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. This is the most public part of the temple. In fact, they also call this area the court of the women. There were certain areas in the temple that women were not allowed to go, and also Gentiles were not allowed to go. So this is the most public area of the temple. It says, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Notice the protection of God's timing. God established when Jesus Christ was to go to the cross. It was not God's timing. But again, we see here, because they have rejected Jesus Christ, they have rejected Christ's witness of himself. Second of all, I want you to notice also there was a rejection of salvation through Christ. Verse 21. It says, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. There's that statement I've made, that I've referred to. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Now, I want you to notice what he says there. Ye shall die in your sins. So what does that mean? They're going to where? Here's religious leaders of Israel, God's chosen people that are literally going to hell. They're going to die in their sins. But notice what Jesus says here. Because of their unbelief, whither I go, where I am going, ye cannot come. That's inability. Unless you believe in the Bible Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. Contrary to what many say today, there are not many paths to heaven. They're all going the same way, they will commonly say. There are many who say that various religions will end up in heaven someday. That's universalism. Universalism is heresy. It's out of the pits of hell. Some universalists even say that the devil himself will be redeemed someday. That is a lie. Jesus Christ himself said Satan's end in the book of Revelation is the lake of fire. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's the universalism doctrine, and it is heresy. It is false doctrine. Again, ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Jesus is saying very clearly to them, you cannot go to heaven because of your unbelief. Verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Again, here's another question. Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. You know, they thought maybe he was going to commit suicide. And he said unto them, ye, notice the contrast here. Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Notice what he's saying there. You are worlds apart from where I'm going. You're from beneath, I'm from above. And he's going to continue developing this theme, and it's not going to be a popular theme as far as the Jewish leaders are concerned. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he. Notice the two words again. I am. Ye shall die in your sins. Notice what Jesus is saying. Unless you believe that I am the I am that I am. You remember the burning bush back in Exodus? You're going to die in your sins. When we reject the Bible, Jesus, we reject salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus very clearly said they could not go to heaven and that they would die in their sins because of unbelief. There is no other way to heaven. Believing in God is the only way. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, not just believing that there is a God. Third, I want you to consider also, because they've rejected Jesus Christ, there's also rejection of Christ's relationship with God the Father. Notice verse 25 and following. Then said they unto him, notice they're constantly going back to him with other questions. Who art thou? Who do you claim to be? Notice their questions. Now, I remind you who this is. This is their creator. And they're questioning him this way. I wonder how many times they've lived in regret over the last 2,000 years because of this conversation. Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Notice what Jesus says there. I have not changed my message. I'm saying the same things I did on day one. I'm saying the same things that John the Baptist said about me. That I am the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But yet they're continuing. After 3 years, they're still asking him, who are you? Who do you claim to be? Again, Jesus did not change his message. He says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Now, I want you to notice that. Because of unbelief, they could not understand. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. It says, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The unsaved person cannot understand this book. The unsaved person might read some words on a page, but they will not understand, fully understand what this book has to say. Again, they're rejecting Christ's relationship with God the Father. It says in verse 28 that the cross would reveal that Jesus Christ was the I Am. Notice verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. All right, so where was he going in about a half a year, about 6 months from this point? Where was he going? He was going to what? The cross. So Jesus says, when you have put me on the cross, you understand, you're going to know that I am that I am. In fact, the Roman soldiers, the Roman centurion at the cross recognized who that was. Truly this man was the Son of God. That's what the gospel said he said. Truly this man, that's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. The cross revealed that Jesus Christ was the I am that I am. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. How many of us could say, honestly, that we have always, always, always done what pleases God? My hand's not up. And that Jesus Christ makes this claim, I do always those things that please my Father. I want you to hold your place there. I want you to notice with me 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I believe it's important for us to understand how Jesus is dealing with these false teachers, because there are many who have a false idea about Jesus today, and they need to understand the truth, or they will die in their sins just like these Jewish leaders. But here's what I want you to see here. When someone rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, they have also rejected God the Father. Notice it says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. All right, so he's writing these things even though they already know the truth. But because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Did you notice that statement? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Here's a very real illustration we have in our modern day. 1.5 billion people claim to be Muslim. And in order to be a Muslim, you have to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Allah has no son. That's what the Quran says. Allah has no son. So let me ask you, are they going to heaven? Absolutely not. Jesus said, when you deny me, you've also denied the Father. And that's exactly what John says in 1 John chapter 2. 1.5 billion people have accepted a lie that has damned their soul to hell. Very clear evidence of that. Rejection of Christ's relationship with God the Father is another result of unbelief. Number four, there's also rejection of liberty through Christ. Notice verse 30 and following. As he spake these words, many believed on him. All right, so as Jesus is speaking in this public area, I can imagine that there's a crowd that's even gathering. Oh, here's Jesus. He's talking. I wonder what he's going to say today. Of course, I have a feeling it's that every time he shows up in Jerusalem, they're always looking to see what's going to happen with between him and the Pharisees and the scribes and all that. You know, what conflict is coming next? Because they watched. They knew that they were out to kill him. They understood that. Notice it says in verse 30 then. As he spake these words, many believed on him. That's a profession of faith. But I want you to notice Jesus adds something to that. Right, so there's a profession of faith. I believe in Jesus. But Jesus says that does not make you a disciple. That just makes you a believer. Do you see the difference? Notice what he says then in verse 31. What he says to then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if. Anytime you see the word if, it's a conditional word. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It doesn't just set you free, it makes you free. But notice it says, if ye continue in my word. There's the condition for discipleship. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And it says in the very next verse, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Why do you look for a church? What do you look for in a church? I've been asked that question over the years. Different things about church. What do you look for in a church? Is your first concern whether or not the apostles' doctrine is preached? Let me remind you. The Gospel of John is recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by an apostle. If ye continue in my word. He doesn't say which parts of the Bible, which parts of the New Testament. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe there are many in bondage today because they don't want the truth. That's the reality of it. Many are in bondage today because they don't want the truth. Discipleship is proven by continuing in the word of God. It says in verse 32 that the truth liberates. And by the way, truth is not determined by opinion polls. Truth is not determined by opinion polls. You know, we're in election season. It seems like we're always in election season. But we're in election season, and so they're trying to determine who's going to be the number one spot for Republican and number one spot for Democrat. I really believe we're a divided country. But how many people determine who they're going to vote because of the opinion polls? That's not how truth is determined. Truth is determined by this book right here. Jesus Christ is the truth. This is how we know whether or not something is the truth or not. But again, the continuing in the Word of God. Truth is not determined by the opinion polls. It's determined by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 33, it's a very interesting response here that they had. Then answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's descendants. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? This is the height of self-deception. They were not even reading their own Old Testament. You think about the Egyptians. Hard bondage. God had to deliver them, had to send Moses to deliver them from Pharaoh's hard bondage. They forgot about Egypt, evidently. They also forgot about the Midianites in the book of Judges. They forgot about the Philistines. They forgot about Assyria that carried off the northern tribes and destroyed the northern part of Israel. They forgot about Babylon that took Judah into captivity. They forgot about Greece and Syria. Not only that, but right as they were speaking, they were under the bondage of Rome. They were in bondage at that moment. And yet they said, we've never been in bondage to any man. Let me point out, there's a lot of people who have the same self-deception in regard to addictions. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not an alcoholic. I can quit whenever I want to. Well, then why don't you? The reality is, they can't. They're in bondage. Many live in self-deception. They don't even see their bondage. But we see in verse 34 that sin enslaves people. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, the slave of sin." You know, there's a lot of people in our world today think that they live in liberty. They live in freedom. They can do as they please. They can sin whenever they want to. Of course, they don't see it as sin. Not realizing that they're in bondage to that sin. I think I've used this illustration before, but a lot of times our young people, our younger generation will think that they're going to rebel against their parents and do what the crowd wants. They're going to be just like the crowd. They're going to paint their hair a different color and all kinds of stuff just because everybody's doing it. As my wife and I were at Target, you know, that nice store in Kona there, Target. There's a mother of two young children. She's pushing the cart around there. And my heart broke for those children. Here's this young mother who still wants to be just like everybody in the world. Painting her hair purple, all kinds of different things. You know what they're doing? They think they're going off in freedom, being their own person. In reality, they're being just like everyone else. That's bondage. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." Thankfully, because that's why he's able to save us to the uttermost. "If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Only Jesus Christ provides true freedom. And I want you to notice, because they had rejected Jesus Christ, they were going to continue in bondage. Number 5, I want you to notice also, there was a rejection of Christ's word. Verse 37. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed," you're descendants of Abraham. That's as far as it goes, he's going to tell them. "But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." I've read this before. Let me just read for you. You can stay there. Let me read for you Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." What's Paul saying there in Hebrews? I believe the Apostle Paul is probably the writer of Hebrews. What's Paul saying there? We can illustrate it this way. You can have two people sitting side by side in a church congregation. One person gets it, and one person doesn't. Why is that? Why is there totally opposite responses to the preaching of God's word? Remember what it says? Not being mixed with faith. You see, there's the missing key. Back in here it says, because of their unbelief, "I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you," because of unbelief. "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Okay, now what you notice here? Jesus is going to start pointing out here that there's two different family trees here. He says, "My father and your father." Obviously, it's not the same God. Is that obvious there? They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Okay, Jesus says, okay, if Abraham is your father spiritually, Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." What's he saying? There's no evidence. Show me the evidence that you're Abraham's seed. Notice it says in verse 40, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." I have a reference written out in my notes here, Galatians 4:16. The Apostle Paul said to the Galatian believers, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Because I preach the truth, am I become your enemy?" Notice here these religious leaders who thought they believed in Jehovah. They were wanting to kill the Lord of glory because he was telling them the truth. "Ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Verse 41, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." You notice what they're doing, how blasphemous this is. They're questioning the virgin birth of Christ. I believe what they're saying here, and remember, they had just dealt with the woman taken in adultery. Now they're coming back to Jesus and saying, "You know, there's some questionable things about your birth." There's some questionable things about your birth. They're saying that yet today. Some suggest that it was a German soldier, an adulterous relationship with Mary. And that's the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. How blasphemous. The ones who come up with those lies are suffering in the pit of hell because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They're denying the virgin birth of Christ. How blasphemous. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Well, I thought Abraham was your father. Remember, that's what they claimed back in verse 39. Now they're saying God is our father. They counter Jesus with an accusation. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. Notice how straightforward he is with that. If God were really your father, then you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. They could not believe because of unbelief. Again, he's pointing out two different family trees here. And it's very interesting here now in verse 44. As we speak of this rejection of the word of truth here, he says very clearly, you are of your father the devil. Now that's how you win friends and influence people, right? You have your father the devil. But notice what he says to them. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. What does he mean by that? In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent deceived Eve and led Adam into this sin. The serpent wanted them to disobey God so that they would die. I believe that's what this reference is. He was a murderer from the beginning, but notice he's also a liar. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ye are of your father the devil. Notice again, there's two family trees. Jesus says there's only two fathers that you can have. God the Father, and there's a condition with that. The only way God is your father is if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, or of Satan. There's only one of two options. Satan was their father, he says very clearly. Now it's very interesting in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God said to Adam, said to the serpent also in relation to that, that there is a woman's seed and also the serpent's seed. Satan has a seed. Now hold your place here. Notice with me Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I want you to see what Jesus says about this in relation to the children of the devil. Jesus Christ is very straightforward in some of his teaching in relation to this. Notice it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, he tells a parable. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat also with them. I want you to consider that tares look like wheat, but they're a counterfeit wheat. Jesus says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. All right, so what are the wheat and the tares? Notice it says then in verse 36 and following. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. But you consider, the wheat and the tares, in many cases they look alike. That's what Jesus is saying. In many cases, they look alike. So let me ask you, who's your father? Who's your father? Judas fooled everyone. Just because you're in church does not mean you're a Christian today, in the biblical sense. God forbid that I would stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday and not proclaim the gospel and make sure, once again, that everyone here knows Christ as Savior. Who's your father? There's only one of two options. As we consider that, notice then the last verses of this chapter, John chapter 8. To reject Jesus, the Bible Jesus, is a rejection of the source of eternal life. Notice the response. Actually, let's read down through to verse 48. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. They refuse to believe. By the way, the Old Testament says truth has fallen in the streets. I believe that's true today also. People don't want the truth, it seems. Which of you convinceth me of sin? I want you to notice what Jesus is saying there. You take the Old Testament and show me where I'm wrong. That's what he's asking here. Which of you convinceth me of sin? He's asking them to take the Old Testament scriptures and say, convince me of sin. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Because he proclaims the truth. It says in the end of verse 46, and if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Notice they didn't want the truth, because they were not of God. Now, verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now they resort to name calling. This is exactly what happens when somebody is resisting the truth. They finally get down to the point where they begin to call names. Notice Samaritan. This was a derogatory term to a Jew. That'd be like calling someone a moron today. Or worse. You're a Samaritan and hast a devil. You're mentally deranged. You're insane. You are demon possessed. Can I remind you who they're saying this to? Jesus Christ had the power to destroy them right then and there. Boy, their mercy. The mercy of God. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Every day I ask God, God, I want to glorify you. I want to exalt Jesus Christ. That's a request that I have every morning. I wish I could say I lived up to it perfectly, but that is a desire of my heart. Notice Jesus says, I honor my Father, and ye just dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now this is going to send them off the edge here. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. By the way, notice that's not what Jesus said. Jesus never said you'll never taste of death. Notice he says he will never see death. As I was doing some study, this is how it was described. Someone's on their deathbed. And they see their loved ones and family gathered around the bed. They close their eyes and they open them to see the face of Jesus. See, death is a door for the believer. Jesus says, if you believe in me, you shall never see death. Now, we fear the process of that, but we shall never see death as a believer in Christ. But again, they twisted what Jesus said. He shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Now, notice what they're saying here. Others have died. How can you say that no one will see death if we believe in you? Whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? Well, he's already told them who he thinks he is. He's the Son of God, coming from God the Father. It says verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I have known him, but I know him. And if I should say," notice what he says here, "if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying." What's he saying? If I deny that I know God the Father, that I come forth from him, I'd be a liar just like you. And then Satan would be my father. Notice he had to tell the truth. He had to tell the truth. "Ye have not known him, but I know him." He says, "I shall be a liar like unto you if I say that I don't know him." Verse 56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." When did that happen? The Bible doesn't say. I believe very possibly on Mount Moriah. As Abraham went to offer his son Isaac, he saw the Lamb of God. He believed in the coming Messiah. I believe that's very possibly when it was. He saw it and was glad. "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? You're not 2,000 years old." Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was," notice it, "I am." All right, we believe in you, Jesus. Is that how the chapter ends? The Pharisees go and pick up the rocks that they had intended for an adulterous woman. You see it? Notice verse 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, and going through the midst of them, and so passed by." I am that I am. This is the third time he's claimed this title in this passage. I am he. You remember it? Verse 24 and verse 28. He is claiming the title from Exodus 3, the burning bush. I am that I am. But I want you to notice this miraculous deliverance here in verse 59. Where do you see the miraculous? Remember, here's a bunch of Pharisees have rocks ready to throw them at Jesus. Now, you read this verse again and tell me whether or not there's a miracle that takes place in verse 59. They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Notice it does not say he fought himself out through the crowd so he wouldn't get stoned. Is that what the Bible says? He hid himself. He's surrounded by his enemies. He hid himself, passing through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why? Because it wasn't his time to die. He was on a divine timetable. It was not his time to die. So God gave him another miraculous deliverance. Someone has said, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. One of the things I notice in this passage is that Jesus does not force these guys to believe in him. Jesus Christ will not force anyone to believe in the real Jesus. Multitudes can believe in the Christ consciousness all they want to. They can believe that there's many ways to heaven. But in the end, they're going to wish they had believed in the Bible Jesus, the only way to heaven. Unless you believe in the Jesus of the Bible, to quote Jesus himself, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe in this Jesus, and you want to know what the real Jesus is like? Look at Revelation 1. That's the real Jesus. It's not this long-haired hippie who tolerates drugs and alcohol and the wickedness of this world and the religions of this world. The real Jesus. That's why it's repentance and faith. These men, these religious leaders, had to repent of rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. We're not going to have time to look at this, but I remind you what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, did we not do all kinds of mighty things in your name? What does Jesus say to them? I never knew you. Depart from me. Unless you believe in the Bible, Jesus, you also will die in your sins. Do you know Christ as Savior alone today? But there's also a separation that I believe we need as well. Can I remind you that Jesus did not try to tolerate and cooperate with these religious leaders? Separation is a forgotten doctrine today. In Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him." They're following another gospel. The Apostle Paul said, "If anyone preaches another gospel unto you, than what I preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. Doomed to destruction." Jesus does not try to cooperate with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He doesn't try to get along with them. He says, "You want to persist in your unbelief? Then you'll die in your sins." In fact, we're only a few chapters away from the end of his public ministry, when he begins to work with his disciples in the last days, the last hours of his life. John emphasizes the conflict, the confrontation, the controversy. As I was doing my reading, various words came up. Jesus did not come to bring unity. That runs counterculture. The Jesus of the Bible said himself, "I came to bring a sword, to bring division." You see, the dividing line is right here. Right here. This is the dividing line. You're going to believe what the Bible says? You're going to reject that book and what Jesus says? Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand in this late hour, Lord, I believe we're getting very close to the end. Lord, your word says that in the last days there'll be a falling away from the truth. Father, I pray that you'd help us to see the truth. First and foremost today, I ask, God, I beg with you, Holy Spirit of God, that you would have liberty to work here today. Is everyone in this place a true believer in the Jesus of the Bible? Father, there's so many false Jesuses out there today, so many false Christs. Jesus said that would happen in the Gospel of Matthew. So many false Christs today. Speaking of a Christ consciousness of the New Age movement, referring to many paths to heaven, damning souls to hell. God, help us. God, help us. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul testified. Only the Jesus of the Bible will save. But God, are we also practicing separation? Jesus didn't try to cooperate with these religious leaders. Neither should we, when they proclaim a message contrary to this book. They thought they knew God. But Jesus said very clearly that they were going to die in their sins. In Paul's words, let them be accursed. They were proclaiming a works salvation. Let them be accursed. Lord, every false teacher in this area will face stricter damnation from this same Lord at the great white throne judgment. But God, my heart breaks for those who are deceived by these teachers. God, help us. Apply the truth where necessary in our hearts today. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.